You're tuning into Edinburgh Chi Alpha's TNL, a place for community and growing deeper in your faith. Join us each week as two people sit down to discuss difficult questions found in Scripture. This is Q&A with Jesus.
Hello, welcome to Chi Alpha. Woo! In person and virtual. What a good time. Glad to see all of your wonderful masked faces. Thankfully, with the Lord, we don't need those, but we do here. So, glad you guys are all, we need to take precautions. But with the Lord, you don't need a mask, because he sees you, and he knows you. There's no mask to wear in front of Jesus. Nothing to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to prove. So, this is our last one of the semester, and we are stoked do a little bit of Q&A handling tonight. So we will go through three questions, and then we'll also open them up. So save your if we have time. So I'm watching the clock. We're running on real time, not TJ time, so don't worry. We won't go over. And so what I'm excited about is that we really take the time to pick some of the questions that we felt were significant, because we actually got some. So woot to all of you guys. And if you have some, come up to us afterwards, chat with us. We love that stuff. So now it's time. Okay, so we're going to be doing an icebreaker that takes the entire time. You ask how, and I tell you in stages. So what I want you guys to do is find someone close to you to pair up with. Make eye contact, do a little signal, wave, and then, does Allie have somebody? Okay, so is there anybody here who does not have a partner? Raise your hand. Great, okay. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors, elimination. We're gonna do best two out of three. Yep, best two out of three. And so just remember who wins and who loses. It goes rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay? Make sure you're in sync and no last minute switching up. I know. I watch people do that. They're like, oh, same. I said, no, that's rock. Okay? So go on, do it. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. You want to get a ring?
The last play.
Okay, so remember, it's just with your partner right now. Okay. The people who won, can I see a hand? Show me the hands. Wow, you guys have survived phase one. So, Jonathan got eyes in his name, am I right? That was a rough round for him. Okay, anyways, so we're gonna kick off the first question in the panel, which is, how do we love people who hurt us? And I feel like that's a pretty fair question to ask. So how I wanted to start off with is having you guys close your eyes for a second. So I want you to close your eyes, no peeking, heads up, seven up, don't look at people's feet. And I want you to raise your hand if you have been hurt before by someone. Okay. Keep it up. Look around. Open your eyes sometimes. Everybody has been hurt before.
No way.
Okay, so now I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been hurt by someone close to you. Okay, now keep your hand up if you are still close to someone who has hurt you before. All of us. So now I want to open the floor and ask you guys, why are you still friends with them? Or why do you still keep them close? Because it's not always friendships. It could be a significant other, it could be family. So why do you keep them close to you? Or why are they so close?
Because
or not?
I was gonna say people make mistakes.
Okay.
And I still love them no matter what.
Okay. I appreciate that. So what Alex said was, people still make mistakes, and I'm bad at reiterating. And we love them no matter what. Who else? Can I get a couple more?
I think because they will learn to acknowledge and make them amends.
Mm.
So, like, when if someone is trying to be better.
Mm. So because they made amends and have been working on getting better, that you want to give them grace and say, why not? I appreciate that. Someone else? Monique. Yes. Hurt people hurt people. Alex.
Sometimes it's unintentional.
Because sometimes it's unintentional. It's a hard question to still answer though. And there's a lot of different kinds of hurts. And that's where I wanted to start this. There's a lot of different kinds of hurts, and not all are valid to keep somebody. Okay, so when I'm talking about the relationship, there are some circumstances that are healthier to remove out of your life. The hard part is, how do you still love somebody even when that's happened? And so we see a lot of times in scripture, with the books of wisdom, answer by saying, well, that's why we guard our heart, which also is a very cliche Christianese language. Now, we don't know what that means. Does it mean to build a little barricade? Does it mean to get some pokers? When people get close, we can stab them. What does it mean to guard your heart? And I think this is a perfect place to say it's learning how to love somebody with boundaries so you aren't getting hurt the same way you got hurt before. Now, it doesn't mean that you cut them out completely. That's an option. But to love somebody with a guarded heart means to give them a chance, but also to protect yourself emotionally and mentally with boundaries. And so we love people well in general by creating healthy boundaries in relationships, friendships. When I say relationships, platonic and romantic. So we create boundaries in our relationships so we don't get hurt the same degree. However, like C.S. Lewis says, in order to love, you will be hurt. If you choose to love, you will be hurt. And so when I'm talking about that kind of hurt, it's different than physical abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse. Okay, that's not the kind of hurt we're referencing. The kind of hurt we're referencing is saying somebody's imperfect and they won't meet all of your needs. Somebody's going to fail, right, and disappoint you at some time. You guys will get in an argument, and mean things might be said unintentionally. That's hurtful. Comparison's hurtful. Death is hurtful. And so when we talk about hurt, that's what I'm referring to. If we're referring to the other kind of hurt, that's where it's so critical. In order to love them back, it's to first seek healing for yourself and say, why am I hurt? And then finding the appropriate method of healing, whether it is a multitude of things, such as counseling, such as mentorship, such as friendships, where you have those conversations with safe people that you know you can trust to find healing, not through them, but through the avenue of conversation. And so how do we love people well? I think that's when Jesus responds to his disciples and says to turn the other cheek, and we forgive 7 times 7 is 7. So not 149 times, but his emphasis was we continue to forgive, but that doesn't mean we continue to place ourselves in a position to be hurt again that same way. However, again, love is being vulnerable. So it's finding the gap of safe vulnerability with someone that you trust and giving them piece by piece until eventually the relationship is strong. But that doesn't mean you'll never get hurt. So, how do we love people? Vulnerability and healthy, safe boundaries. Now, the first question has been discussed. Now I'm going to have the people who have won the first phase to raise their hand. And then I want you to find a partner as well. Find a new partner with another hand that is raised because you are going into phase two of rock, paper, scissors. There should be an even number, maybe. Is there an even number? Tia. Okay, 3-1 up here, so you'll play with Tia. She beat both Cody and myself. So she's a double winner. Okay, rock, paper, scissors, and go. If you're online, you're welcome to find a mirror. You can try to beat that person to be part. Okay, so raise your hand if you have survived phase two. Oh my goodness, Jonathan. Somebody needed to beat Jonathan. I like it. Okay, look at that. Round of applause for all of you guys. Genius. Great. Okay, take it away, Bree.
Now, the second question that we're going to go over tonight. So I'm just going to read it off. It says, some people believe that the Bible says the world has only existed for 5,000 or so years. Science has indicated that the world has been around for much longer than that. Does the Bible really claim the earth has only been occupied for 5,000 years? And if so, how do we as Christians rationalize and combine both the Bible's always authentic teachings and the findings of evidential science? If the Bible does claim this, why do people believe that it does? So if you're new to kind of like stereotypical creation science, there's a lot of reputable and well-respected scientists who, for things like skepticism on carbon dating and like different understandings of the original language that Genesis was written in, they believe that the earth is somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 years old. That's very contrary to what a lot of other scientists believe. I'm sure you've heard in your biology classes in like high school that the earth is somewhere between millions and billions of years old. And 10,000 years compared to a million years is not a small discrepancy. So what do we do? And for this question, we're going to kind of transition our pace a little bit. TJ was talking about like kind of some heart stuff. We're going to be talking a little bit more technically about some things now because God's given us our minds. He's blessed us with science. Some of the greatest minds of history have done it to the glory of God. Science is good and important, and we should always want to know truth. So when a lot of our experts, a lot of the experts of our time disagree so drastically, how do we know what to believe? And that's what we want to talk about. So I want to start by saying that this is not a Bible versus science issue. This is a, how do we understand science? How do we study scripture? It's that kind of issue. It's not a Bible versus science. They don't contradict each other. And we also have to start off by understanding, like, we believe God created. See, that's where we're starting today. Not only does the Bible say that, but the order of the world points to that. Like, random chaos does not randomly turn into such order that cells can send signals to each other through the tissues in our body back and forth within fractions of a second. Random chaos does not randomly turn into such order that the planets can be suspended in space by law so precisely that not only do they not like collide and burn up, but so precisely that Earth can sustain life. We believe God created because logic tells us that everything has to have a beginning and a cause. And that cause is an intelligent designer. So when he did that, a lot of people disagree on it. So I'm not going to argue one way or another in terms of timeline, because this is not a die on a hill issue. This does not affect our salvation. And so I want you guys to know your creator. I want you to know that he formed you out of love. But moving forward, I'm going to assume that we're all starting from that stance, okay? If you're not, if you don't believe that God was the original cause, If you want to talk more about it, we can talk after tonight. Like TJ said, we love conversations like that. But for now, I want to address more so how to think through issues that don't necessarily contradict Scripture, but we're not sure what to believe about Scripture, right? Things like, when did the world come into existence? So firstly, we need to not use our biblical perspective to ignore science. So like I said, science is important, and studying to assure ourselves approved in all areas is biblical. But basically, just because some second grade Sunday school teacher told you something doesn't mean we don't have to test everything, show ourselves approved, and not study. But also, and almost more important, we can't use science to disregard, ignore, or manipulate what the Bible teaches, because, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time, because we believe that the Bible is infallible, authoritative, and the inspired word of God. So, infallible, authoritative, and the inspired word of God. Let me break that down, okay? So, infallible means that the Bible is incapable of error. So everything that the scriptures intend to assert is true and reliable. And you can't just like read anything you want into scripture and be like, well, the Bible's infallible, so that's true. But the original meaning and the intent of scripture is without error. And then the authority of scripture has to do with the power of these truths over our beliefs and our life, of our faith and conduct. And so we understand this in terms of comparison best. So like the truths in scripture have more weight than anything that we can come in contact with. The truths of scripture have more authority over us than government. The truths of scripture have more authority over us than culture. And as much as we may not want to trust kind of some natural authorities in our life, like culture or government, or professors, whoever that authority is, we know that the authority of scripture is trustworthy, it's good, God is always kind, and this authority is good for us to sit under. So these are really lofty claims, right? Like, cannot have error, always authoritative. But we believe them because we believe this third thing, that it's not just some random assortment of writings in the Bible, but that all the words in this book are the inspired word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, in a way that influenced both the author's thoughts and their actual choice of words, while simultaneously allowing for full personality, for different backgrounds, for different abilities of the writers. We believe that it is infallible with complete authority because it is inspired, the inspired word of God. And so if you want to talk more about those three things, because there's a lot there, again, come talk to us later. Like, it's worth it. There's a lot there. But we have to know these things when we're looking into what the Bible says about topics like this. We have to trust scripture. And so then, if the Bible disagrees with our understanding of the world, we have to reevaluate. And so here's why. In the Bible, one of the authors, his name was Job, and he makes some beautiful poetry of what we used to think were just literary devices, like the stars singing and God suspending the earth over nothing at all. And we used to think they were just literary devices, but recently scientists have found that the stars make noise, that they found the sound that stars make. And modern science, compared to like 6,000-year-old cosmology, tells us the earth is actually suspended over nothing at all. And Job also talks about how God weighs out the winds, which, however you understand scripture, may be literal, may be poetic in your mind, but air has actual mass and weight, and a lot, actually, which is why we can't survive in space without spacesuits, right? So God can actually weigh out the winds. And Isaiah, another author, he wrote in the 8th century BC, he talks about a circle of the earth, and I think we're all aware that for a large chunk of time, people thought that the earth was flat. But Isaiah was like, no, there's a circle of the earth. And so my point is that instead of trying to line scripture up with science, that our beliefs in scripture make sense with what modern science is telling us, In the end, science will always line up with scripture. Science will always line up with scripture. Scripture never changes, but we all know that science is changing constantly what we know and what we understand. And so we have to study, we have to trust, and we have to be patient sometimes. But the end of this whole discussion, the things I want you to know is that things like this are not a salvation issue. So if you study scripture and science and you believe one way or another when it comes to the age of the earth, neither is going to affect your relationship with the Lord. This is not a salvation issue, but when we're trying to understand scripture, we have to believe in the infallibility and the authority of scripture overall, because that's how we understand salvation. So the answer to how do we as Christians rationalize and combine both the Bible's always authentic teachings and the findings of evidential science? Basically, we have to study and we have to trust scripture.
I think the only thing that I could add to it is the arguments that I mostly feel happen with this discussion specifically is like the old earth or the new earth. And my favorite thing that someone has talked about before is God has the ability to make a really old tree if he wants to make a really old tree. Like, so it doesn't matter. God has the ability to make something the way he wants to make it. It doesn't mean, you know, like, was the chicken or the egg first? It doesn't matter. God created it. So that's all I have.
Yeah. I would say that sometimes, even maybe you guys have grown up in certain churches that have really shied away from pushing into science because it feels like a competitor or it feels like the enemy. When it's not, because God has also created science, God has created biology, God has created physics, God has created chemistry, God has created physiology and anatomy. God has done that. And so the beauty of it is, it's almost like we've been placed in a sandbox and God says, look at what I've made and enjoy it. And so I think graduating as an exercise science major, when you poke into those things, you study and you research, you find just the beauty of God in the complex details and information as you study the body, as you study climate, as you study the earth, as you study geology in space. Can't think of space. Cosmology. And so, you know, I want to encourage you guys to also enjoy science and enjoy what God has created and the healthy perspective that God is sovereign. And so when we see things come together, we can trust that the Lord has designed Earth and us the way he has intentionally designed it. Okay, so phase 3, peeps. Raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to need you to stand up for this one. It is time to stand up. Okay, partner up. Oh, Monique is going. Remember 6 feet apart? Okay. Are we ready? It is time to rock, paper, scissors. And go. Oh. No! How's it going in the back?
They're just throwing rocks in.
Does anyone else play with dynamite?
No, that's John. No. Thank you.
Oh my goodness, they have the same brain?
It's 1-1.
Wrong. Scissors, shoot. Oh, it is Taya. Okay, Taya and Alex. Oh, snap. So take your bets now. You actually don't bet, but take your bets. And we will hop back in for this finale after Cody.
Yes, so.
The last question that we are going to answer tonight, and we will have more answers. If you ask a question that doesn't get answered tonight, we will have them later in the week on social media. So the last one we're answering right now is, how do I know what gift I was given to serve Christ and that it's the right one?
So the first thing I want to do is address the second part of this question, because I feel as though, just to clarify, for whoever asked this question, the Holy Spirit doesn't give you wrong gifts. So the gift you have will always be the right one. However, if I assume you meant to ask, how do you know that the one you believe you have and are operating in is the correct one, or is the actual one you have? It's a simple answer. If you have a gift and you believe you're operating in it, if it's bringing you joy, and if it's doing anything to build up the kingdom of God, then it's the right one. There's no overthinking that. It could happen in a day. The Holy Spirit can easily give you a gift one day that you operated in, you find joy in it, and then you are building the kingdom up through that. So some of the gifts, just to throw out a couple, administration, apostolic, discernment, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, serving, teaching, wisdom, all of these gifts, any single one of you can operate in if the Holy Spirit gives you that gift, or if you even ask the Holy Spirit for that gift. The Holy Spirit is a very giving person. And we talked last week about how the Holy Spirit is an actual person. It's not just some mystic thing that you have to like bow down to. Like it's very, the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you and wants to grant you the gifts that you're asking for. So I want to read from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So as you go through, if you guys ever want to look up, you know, that they have quizzes online, find good ones. There's probably some bad ones out there. I haven't found them, but you can take a quiz that will tell you what, based on the answers, like what gifts that it believes that you have. So as you read through descriptions of the ones, there's always going to be ones that stick out to you. Maybe those are ones that you have, or maybe those are ones that you want to have. That's always going to be the case. But as another big thing you can do is ask your Christian friends what they see you operate. I've been told by non-Christian friends things that I do that have shown me the gifts that I have, and I've then got affirmation from other people as well. But you can pray about this. You can ask God to lead you toward whatever gift he has given you. He can make it clearer to us the gifts that we have if you're struggling or if you're not too sure. I feel like the person who asked this was just really trying to understand themselves more. So, and then even some churches offer spiritual classes as well, spiritual gifting classes, to help you discover what you're operating in. And the gift, the one thing we want to really make sure to come home here is the gift isn't a superpower. It's not this amazing thing that happens that you get overcome with strength and power. And as cool as that would be, don't get me wrong, but it's not this, you know, mystic superpower that you're going to operate in. And then no one can steal it from you. No one can take it from you. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a gift, and if you're struggling with that, you can absolutely talk to anyone on staff, any life group leaders. We want to help you guys with that as well. But as far as how do you know which one you've been given, it's the one you're serving. It's the one you're operating. It's the one that the Holy Spirit has granted you, and it just comes second nature to you. So that's really the best answer I can give. I don't know if either of you two have anything else.
Yeah, I think like this answer is so like not messy in a bad way, but like there's no like clear cut, oh, this is the one you have. Because like it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, right? So like you have to know Holy Spirit to know what he's giving you. And so like it only is gonna come from spending time with God. And like that understanding is only gonna come from like growing in sensitivity to the Spirit, like learning what his voice sounds like, learning what his leading sounds like. And then when you're like, yes, this is where he's leading me, it doesn't matter which gift you have. If he's leading you in healing, act in that. Because you're not going to have the same gift for the whole life. Maybe you will. I don't know. If God wants to do that, he can. But, like, I've walked through seasons of prophecy, And then I walk through seasons of healing. Like, God can give you whatever he wants. So get to know Holy Spirit. And then if he gives you something, walk in it. Doesn't matter what it is. But just get to know him, spend time with him, and that's where the clarity comes.
Yeah, my one thing would be just remember that gifts are not ownership, but stewardship. And so you're experiencing these giftings for others. And so sometimes don't overlook things like administration as a skill set, because it is a skill. However, it is also a gifting. Some people, it's more natural, right? It is supernatural. And sometimes we overlook that because it seems basic or it seems very tangible in a way that might not seem miraculous or it might not seem supernatural. But gifts are given from the Lord, and to recognize and to practice gratitude with operating in those giftings is just such a blessing and honor as the Holy Spirit works through you in every season. So always stay open, because you just never know how the Holy Spirit wants to work and in you and through you. So yeah,
round four. Round four. Okay, can we have the final contestants take a stand? Okay, you guys are now split half and half. The front room, you're going to be saying Alex, Alex. In the back room, you're going to be Taya, Taya, Taya. Okay, you guys ready? I want to hear some chants, because this is the final countdown.
Taya, Taya, Taya.
And boom. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, it's 1-1 for those of you online. Oh, 1-1, okay, ready. And rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, and our hand is. Okay, give a round of applause. The real winner is someone online who found a mirror and beat themselves somehow. So, yeah, right now we do actually have 5 minutes for some Q&A. So, would anyone like to ask a question?
Alex asked, what are some questions that we have asked?
Okay, here, I'm going to throw it back to you guys. We're going to share the questions that we've asked, and then you pick one. Is that good? Okay, so... sitting here as a woman in ministry, I was like, am I sinning? So I questioned, like, what could be a ministry? And I also questioned, what the heck baptism of the Holy Spirit was, and, like, did people make that up? Like, is it biblical? Things like that. Those are, like, the biggest ones.
In my days, with my growing up, I asked if skirts were... the only thing appropriate for women. I asked if women should have their hair cut. I've asked if men should wear shorts or should only wear pants, and if they should only have short hair. So some legalistic things. I've also asked about homosexuality. I've asked about transgenderism, and I've still been spending years in and out of those questions, those last two questions. I've also asked about the old earth, new earth. I've asked about that so far.
I think one of the ones that I asked a lot growing up and processing a lot was, if I've sinned in the past, how do I know that I've truly been forgiven? That was a big one that really I processed. Another one that I asked a lot growing up is, which I don't even know how to word that one. That was like a very personal one. I don't know.
I feel like another one that I've asked was like less specific and more like feeling, which like doesn't have words, so like you hear with me, was just like, how do you have a relationship with God? Like when you can't see him, you know? Like how do you just like sit there and talk to him? Or like how do you like relationships with people are hard. Like how do you have a relationship with God, like your creator, your Lord, your Savior? He's like all the way out there.
My last question that I've been asking is not an appropriate question to ask, but it's where I'm at. Of like, sometimes I ask God why he made it so hard, to get to him. What it feels like is hard, right? Because it feels hard when you watch people around you not come to Jesus. I ask a question, why can't you just show up? You just drop in like we did with the 12 disciples for my friends and family. But that's a personal question. That is also answered in scripture, but it's still hard. It's a hard question for me.
Now pick one.
Do you think you can do it about the Holy Spirit one?
Probably not in this moment, just because there's a lot to unpack, even with the language that we'll use discussing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you guys feel like that is something significant as a collective group, we would definitely love to do something like that.
So there were a few questions that were asked specifically that we're going to answer later on Instagram, probably next week or the week after. Some things about tattoos and community in the church, and so we can add that one. Maybe as like a multiple part or something.
I guess a lot of these are great, but yeah, anyway.
Question.
Ooh.
okay, so you know how to buy the cognition.
Yes, condescension. Is the devil omniscient? That's a great question. I love that. Do you want to
reword that for the moment?
Bailey said, God's omniscient. You said omniscient or omnipresent?
So omniscient is all-knowing, omnipresent is everywhere, and then
okay, so God has like a lot of characteristics, but three in particular. Omnipresent, which means he's everywhere all at once. Omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. And omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. And her question was, is the devil? So short answer is no. The devil is a created being, and therefore he cannot be all powerful just by his nature. Like, God is all of those things because he has created everything. He is in control of everything. And so the short answer is the devil is created. He was created as an angel, not created as a devil. So I want to be clear in that. Like, God did not create the devil as we know him now. God created an angel, and then he made a choice to become but the short answer is he is still created, and so no, he is not those things. He is not God's counterpart. He is just another created being.
Classic church moment. My pastor will always go, what's the opposite of above? What's the opposite of hot? Cold. And then he go, what's the opposite of God? He would be like, the devil. He says, false. Because he was like, there is no equal comparison to who God really is. And so, just remember that there are fallen angels. However, they are not omnipresent or omniscient. So they don't know everything. They can't be everywhere. So.
Yeah, and I also think that it's important to mention that the devil had basically no power before Adam and Eve. It was sin that coming into the world that caused the havoc and chaos and pain and suffering that we experience now. It wasn't necessarily the devil. It was sin.
Does that end?
Sorry, if the devil's like working in violence. Like, I just so like, it's just confusing to me because, like, it's like happened in all of the worlds now. Like, mm-hmm. Then
So she said, like, devil seems like his work is being happening all over the world, but how is he not everywhere? And so yeah, that makes sense. Some things to think about are just like Satan is not the only demon, and so they're pretty tricky, they're pretty smart, they're pretty strategic, so they're going to be where they want at strategic points, in like specific times where they want to be, and there's a lot of demons. Another thing is, like, we live in a fallen world, and so a lot of things that people are like, that's spiritual warfare, sometimes it's just our flesh, sometimes we just make bad decisions, sometimes the world just sucks, and so yeah, there's a lot of spiritual warfare because there's a lot of demons, and some things are like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like if a bad thing happens and there's a consequence. Repercussion, thank you. So sometimes there's repercussions of like spiritual warfare and like maybe a demon's not like actually present, but there's some repercussions. There's a lot of demons, there's a lot of consequences, and there's a lot that's just like fallen nature of the world. And so a lot of that is influenced by Satan, but he's not everywhere all at once, and his demons aren't everywhere all at once. They might be strategic, they might be doing a lot of stuff, but only God is everywhere all at once.
I think I heard it from John Piper, but I'm not necessarily sure, so I can't quote him. But there's three things that you fight against in your life. The demonic, the world, and your flesh. And all three of those are pushing back against your relationship with Jesus. And so that's how you can be fighting temptation, because it's still your flesh that's like resistant, because you have still the nature and the desire for rebellion against Jesus. Which is what we call sin. It's just, it's not that simplifying, but it's rebellion. It's the pushback. It's the, I don't need you. It's the, we're God. And so that's what our flesh always feels. Then we fight the world, the exterior, the ugliness, the wickedness as other people making that choice. And then the demonic when you're being influenced. And I can't make that work. So, yeah. Good question. Yeah, I wanted to say all of these questions have been phenomenal tonight, like ones that were submitted, ones that we didn't talk about, even just your guidance have been phenomenal. And so stay curious and keep asking.
I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to do like the Q&A series this whole year. And so as we're closing up, like ask questions, like ask God questions. Like he is so authoritative, he is okay, or not authoritative, that's don't take that the way I didn't mean it, so let me change my words. He is so powerful. He is so big. He can handle your questions. And so people ask Jesus questions all the time when he was on earth. Like, we can ask God questions now. And so, again, like, stay curious. Talk to people when you have questions. Don't just let them fester in your mind. Like, ask God. Ask the people around you. Ask, like, the leaders in your life. Things are, like, it's good to study. It's good to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's okay to ask questions and still love Jesus. Those things can also coincide. Just because you have a question or you have a little bit of a concern or a doubt doesn't mean that you love Jesus less. And it also doesn't mean that God loves you less. Cool.
You want to pretty close?
Yeah.
So God, we thank you that we have the ability and the space to ask these questions in a group like this. And to come together as a group, as a body of Christ, and want to learn more, want to understand more about you. And we just pray that these answers don't stop us from asking questions. We pray that we continue to stay curious, just like DJ said, and we continue to seek after just knowing you more and knowing you more intimately, Lord, in every part of you, God, from the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit, Lord. We can know all three so intimately, and we just pray that we really give ourselves the opportunity to do that through devotional life and life groups and conversations with other people and just our everyday interaction with the world. Lord, we thank you so much for this time, and we just pray a blessing over everyone's week as this is the final Chi Alpha for this school year. God, we pray for everyone's finals, that they go well, and that everyone has a healthy and safe summer. But we can't thank you enough for what you're doing in our ministry and through each and every person here. And it's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.